we just turn the music off for right now? Notebooks in the office in the corner. You just want paper out of mine? Is that what you want? You don't want a new notebook? I'll just give you some paper. Hey, get a notebook at 50 cents. This is for you. Someone designated that on Sunday. What? Let me know when we're on. We're on. Okay, the first thing we're going to do right now, the Lord said that He wants to give you a name of someone you know. So you don't get to pick a name. God's going to pick a name, and we're not going to tell you why until after He tells you the name. So I'd like you to just close your eyes and say, God, who's the person? What's the name for me? When you know it, write it down at the top of your paper. Well, if you don't want to write it down, you don't have to. Just hold it in your mind. Someone you know. It should be someone you know. Does anyone not know their name for sure yet? Okay, I'll give you a few more minutes. One name just keeps popping in your mind. God, we're asking you to do this. Please give each person a name. Thank you, Jesus. Just one name. You don't even know what the name is for yet, so it's really not fair. God doesn't play fair. He's God. He gets to do whatever He wants. He can make the rules. See, you don't know what the name's for, so you don't know how to use any logic and reasoning right now. So there should just be one popping in your mind. You can't tell me no name has popped in your mind at all by now. You must be arguing with God.
I was talking to Him about somebody,
So that name got stuck on you.
Right.
So then write it down. That's your name. Okay. If you can't think of any other, then that's it.
I can think of all kinds.
But that's the one that stands out. Okay. Does anyone not have a name yet? Y'all ready? Y'all have a name? Anybody not? Well, God's tricky. I got a name too. And I thought, when we started this, I thought, God, I know what I'm talking about. You've been telling me for 2 days what you wanted me to talk about, and it's something I talked about 9 years ago. And I thought, how will I ever find that journal? Of course, because I have them all by dates, and then I have indexes in the front. So I only went through about 10 of them because I had an approximate time in my mind, and I found it. And I said, Lord, if you want that to be the subject, then you're going to have to show me that journal. But I don't get why that's the subject. I didn't think that was on inner healing or deliverance. So He gave me the subject, and then He told me, you know, about having Him pick a name for you. And I said, well, see, I don't have to be a part of this because I already know the subject, so I would know how to think or not think about names. So this is just for them. He waited until 5 minutes before I went out the door, and He gave me a name. And I don't like the name He gave me. I don't want the name He gave me. I got all turmoiled inside because I don't want that to be the name He gave me. But in a minute, we're going to find out. Do you really trust God? Do you really trust God that He knows what it's going to take for you to get healed? He knows what it's going to take to form Christ in you. He knows what it's going to take for your good to set you free out of your bondages and transform your life. He knows. And even if you don't like it, are you going to trust Him to do what He wants to do in your life? Now, I really had a struggle when He gave me the name. It was like I wanted to start arguing. Any name but that name. I don't want that name. Maybe it won't be that way for you. Maybe you'll go, yay, I'm glad I got that name. Well, because maybe where you're at in your life, it gets to be an easy name for you. For me, it was the hardest possible name. So I'm not putting anything on you that isn't way harder on me. Because I have to do this too. So, you're not going to be able to even hear the instructions God has for you unless you're able to say, I do trust you and I will do this because I know it's good for me. It's the best thing for me. Hard things are good for us. Impossible things are the very best things. Impossible things are the best things because with God all things are possible. And what we absolutely cannot do, we have to depend on Him to do. So, this could be called Mission Impossible. Oh, Mission Possible. Impossible for us, very possible for God as we lean on Him. And now I'm going to tell you what we're going to do in healing today. We are going to have a homework assignment, a very long homework assignment. And it is called a love project. A love project. The name you wrote down is your love project. That is the person God is going to love through you. Do I hear some moaning and groaning? I'm doing moaning and groaning. Believe me, I am. No, you cannot repick names. Because that name that God put in your mind is especially going to do something in you. And probably you can't love that person. You may not even be able to like them. All the better. All the better. Because the reason you have a problem with that person is because of what's in you. And that's what God's after. So as you do this homework assignment, it's going to set them free, but it's going to set you free. The reason that's a hard person for you is because of what's in you. The reason it may be an easy person for you is because of what's in you. But the reason that's the name He picked is to go after something in you while going after something in them for both of you to get healed and set free. And God is going to do this. So if you really trust Him, which is what I had to keep saying all the way here in the car when I'm going, oh, I do trust you, God. Oh, couldn't it be, you know, a little less hard if it were, you know? No. This is the hardest person in my life right now. And there's a reason, and I don't even know what that reason is. So this is going to discover the reason and form Christ in me and deliver me from that reason. So that's trusting God. And you can't do it, but He will do it. He will do it. So this is a double-sided project. This is going to heal you and heal them. It's an experiment to see how powerful God is. And it's a tough one. So let's pray. Father, You are sneaky. You are clever. And You are wise and You are loving and You are good. You are such a good God. And I know that this is for us. And I know that it's going to be powerful because You're going to empower it. So we trust You and we love You and we accept Your homework assignment. In the name of Jesus, we can only do it if You do it in us. Quicken this lesson. Thank You, Lord. Amen. Well, there's a big clue. Who you picked is a clue to what God wants to do in you. There's a big clue there for you. Instead of avoiding that person, you're going to face that situation head on. When you act in the opposite spirit, you defeat the enemy. So the thing that you don't like about that person is frequently, somebody's coming to the door. The thing you don't like about that person is frequently the thing you need to learn how to react in a different spirit to. If the person that you chose is extremely controlling, how do you respond to them being controlling? Do you just go into rebellion and stubbornness? You're not going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Then that's what God's after in you. Why are you so stubborn and rebellious? I don't have a problem with controlling people. I just don't let them control me. I do what God wants me to do, and the fact that they're trying to boss me around has no effect on me. It doesn't make me do it, and it doesn't make me not do it. So if they say, go pick up that paper, I say, God, you want me to go pick up that paper? And if he says no, I say, well, I can't pick that paper up right now. God won't let me. And if God says yes, then I say, okay, sure, I'll be glad to pick up that paper. Because I'm not obeying the Spirit, I'm obeying God. So we don't need to be defensive about it. But if you are defensive about it, chances are you've been hurt by somebody with a controlling spirit. Chances even more are you might have one. Controlling spirits, when you have one, that if you have a controlling spirit, that means you want to be in charge. You want to tell everybody what to do. So therefore, if anybody tells you what to do, you're going to rebel and get angry. So it may be an indication of your own spirit. It may be an indication of some pain in your life. So why does that person irritate you? What is it you don't like about them? That's a big clue for you. So instead of avoiding them, you're going to face them. Instead of running away, you're going to back up into God and say, how do I respond? What do I say? What do I do? And as you partner with God, you're going to set that person free. But the biggest power is that when you are walking with God to love someone else, you are the one that gets the most out of it. You will get way more out of this than your love project will. What causes someone to love God? What causes someone to love you, to love their children? Maybe the person you chose is mean to their children, and you want them to love those kids. Maybe they're just hateful to you, and you want them to love you. Maybe you just wish you never had to see them again. But maybe you just, what if you could picture that person being different, praising God, worshiping God, unselfishly living for God? What causes someone to worship God and to love Him? What causes that? Look at Psalm 63. By the way, number one was choose a love project. You already cooperated with that one. Psalm 63. We'll give you a little outline for this homework. So that was your first point. Choose a love project. Psalm 63. Oh God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. I want to see your power and your glory, so as I have seen you in the sanctuary, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. That verse right there is key. God, love will melt a heart. If you are ever in the presence of God, His love is so powerful. It's so amazing. It's so transforming. To be loved by God makes you want to praise Him. It makes your soul thirst for more. He's addictive. But He said, because your loving kindness is better than life. I would rather dwell in the loving kindness of God than anything else in this life. So when that person is exposed to the loving kindness of God, they will be transformed. But you see, God doesn't just go pour out on them. He flows through you. You are His conduit of love. You don't even have to like the person. You don't have to love them. You don't have to like them. You just confess that and say, God, you're going to have to do it. And you know what? You can trust Him. Because when I started thinking about that name He gave me, all kinds of fear hit my heart. What if I have to hug that person? I don't want to hug that person. I don't want to touch that person. What if I have to do this or this or this? You know, I started thinking, God, I can't do those things with that person. You don't have to. God is not going to torment you. He's not going to torture you. He is going to come up inside of you, and he's going to give you simple things to do, and then he will empower those things. See, you don't have to love that person. You don't have to like them. You just have to do whatever steps God gives you, and he will love them. He will do this in them. It's not you. His loving kindness is powerful. It's powerful. Verse 4, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied like with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings will I rejoice. My soul follows hard after you. Your right hand upholds me. This person is going to end up following hard after God, just like you already do. You're here because you're already following hard after God. That's why he said, now I want you to be formed in the image of Christ. I want to set the real you free. And you are like God. God's a giver. God's a lover. God lays down his life for others. And when you begin walking with God in godliness, the real you gets free. The real you gets released. And that's his plan for you. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go down into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. By the way, he's saying now those enemies that are after your soul, those enemies that are after the soul of that love project, they are demons. Those are your enemies. They're going down into the pits of hell. They are going to be cast out of your life. They're going to be cast out of that person's life. They're going to be gone because of this. And they shall fall by the sword. What is the sword with God? Is that lopping off heads in violence? No. What is God's sword? The word of God is the sword. The word of God is going to change us and change them. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that swears by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. The devil is a liar. He lies to you about who you are. He lies to your love project about who he is. He is a liar. And his lies are going to be expelled, and you're both going to get set free. So, loving kindness of God is what changes people. Experiencing the transforming power of God's love will turn that heart to fall in love with God. And that person you don't like, you will begin to like them when you see who they really are. You will change your mind. The only way anybody changes is to experience the powerful love of God. That is the power of God. Look at Jeremiah 31. I marked that one. Oh, I did. My marks are all over the place. Bible drill today. 31:3. The Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be built, O Virgin of Israel. You know, when God's talking to Israel, it was anything but virgin. It was adulterous, unfaithful people who had left God and loved the world. And yet he says, oh, virgin Israel. See, when we return to God, everything is washed away. Purity returns. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets and shall go forth in the dances of them that make merry. God said, because I have loved you with an everlasting love. With loving kindness I drew you. That love project will be drawn with loving kindness. They will be drawn to God through loving kindness. And they will be rebuilt. And they will be brought back to purity in the spirit. Look at verse 11, same chapter. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Your enemy is stronger than you. You cannot fight against your feelings. You cannot fight your emotions. You can't help it if you don't like someone. You can't help your attitudes because your enemy is stronger than you. But God is going to redeem you. He's going to go in there and get you and bring you out of that emotion. He's going to heal the emotion. He's going to heal your heart so the emotion can be gone. It can be changed. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. You cannot do it for yourself or anyone else. In verse 13, then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy, and I will comfort them, and I will make them rejoice from their sorrow. God said, this is a healing message. This is a healing message, because the loving kindness, the power of God's love, will heal you from your sorrow. And the way for you to most experience the love of God is when it flows through you to someone else. When God wants to love someone else, I mean, God might say the simplest little thing. He's not going to say, you know, Cheryl is somebody you can't stand, you don't like her, and you wish you didn't have to touch her. He's not going to say, go up and hug her and kiss her on the lips. He's not going to say that. He's not that kind of God. What he might say is, give her an ink pen. I want you to take that ink pen and give it to Cheryl. You're going, well, how is that going to love her? There's no love in giving her an ink pen, and I don't even like her, and I want to give her an ink pen. But if God said, give her an ink pen, see, your faith and your obedience is going to release his love. And I'm telling you, it is powerful. And now you go over, because when you take one step to obey, grace floods in. As soon as I moved in that direction, now I have the grace. And the closer I walk, my heart's starting to change. And when I hand her that ink pen, whoa, this love of God came up inside of me. And I felt all this love of God for her. And that love that I'm feeling toward her is flowing right through that ink pen into her. It's God in motion. And when God in motion goes through you, you get to feel that. And it heals your heart to let him love someone else through you. It's amazing, isn't it, Harvey? He goes around doing it all the time. It's amazing. You want to feel the love of God, go let him love somebody, especially that love project. So in verse 13, they're going to turn that mourning into dancing. You know, he's going to restore their hope. And we just sit around like robots sometimes, you know. We just sit around in our sadness and our humdrum life. But once in a while, when we get a touch of God, you just want to leap up and jump around and shout and dance like David did, you know? David got silly. King David got silly because he got excited in God. And he danced silly. I always picture him dancing kind of like Harvey, you know, kind of offbeat from anybody else, but he carries his own beat. So he's dancing around like a silly clown, and his wife looks at him and she says, what a fool. Why, he's so embarrassing. His joy embarrassed her. Are you embarrassed over the joy of the Lord? You know what the truth of it is? She was so locked up. She was so full of bitterness and misery that his joyfulness offended her. Other people being giddy and happy offends us when we're miserable. We don't like that. You know why? Misery is a demon. Joy is God. And demons don't like God. So when somebody's joyful in the face of a sad, depressive demon that you're trying to stay in agreement with, it's very irritating. Because that demon really wants to leave because he can't stand being in the presence of God. But because you're in such a licensed agreement with him, he's stuck with you. And he can't leave. But if you just go, oh, I want to be in joy, get out of my life, you could get joyful and just that miserable demon could leave. And you'd be free. We just need a whole lot more freedom. Need to quit caring what everybody thinks about us when we're having fun with God.
Amen.
Look at Psalm 18. We're going through these verses because this is more of a lesson than a soaking day. This is really different today. Your healing is going to come when you go home and do this. It's going to keep coming as you keep doing it. You know what? 9 years ago, when I gave this message, Steve, you might even remember it, and Cheryl, because it was out on 92nd Street, a love project. We all found one, and we stayed accountable, and we kind of worked on that love project for a season. It wasn't a one-day deal, you know. I chose a love project 9 years ago, and I never changed my mind. And I saw that person change dramatically whenever I did these things. In that love project I chose, I got to choose. God didn't trick me that time. I got to pick the name, and it was Harvey. And I saw God do tremendous things as I cooperated with this. Actually, if you knew Harvey 9 years ago, you would say he's different. He's still got rough edges, but he's different than 9 years ago, isn't he? He has changed a lot. He's different than 5 years ago because I'm still loving him. I'm still letting God love him through me. He's still getting God's love. Huh? Psalm 18:16-19. He sent from above and he took me, and he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. When a spirit has you trapped, deceived, bound up, bitterness, hate, anger, fear, intimidation, whatever it is, those are spirits. Jealousy, selfishness, pride, they're spirits. They are not you. You've let them live in you so many years, you don't even know who you are in freedom. They keep you in this little room of fear, this little room of hate and anger, unforgiveness, selfishness. They keep you locked in that little room. And when God sets you free, it's like, phew, prison bars are broken. He brought me into a large place. I have freedom. I can move. I got out of that jail. I'm out of that trap. It is a freedom from a prison. It is so awesome. And we're afraid to come out of that place. We're afraid because we've never tried it. And the devil has told us how scary it is. So we stay there in that hiding place. Your love project needs to be set free. As you get them out of prison, you get out of prison. Even more so than they do. We always learn more when we're giving than when we're receiving. It is more blessed to give than receive. As you're doing this, you're going to get far more than you're giving that person. Because see, partially their receiving depends on their willingness to receive, their desire to receive. If they never receive anything, you know there's a backlash in God. There's a backlash. When his love is swelling up in you to give to someone, and some of you have seen this in prayer ministry, you go up to pray for that person, you go, whoa, I feel that peace of God so strong, you feel it? And they're going, no, I'll feel nothing. Not going to either. And all that peace that he wants to give them, it's just building up in you and they won't receive it. And it all comes right back on you and you're going, whoa, I'm about to fall down. I'm full of this. They didn't take any of it. And you get to keep it all. It's powerful to be the giver because you always get part of what you give. You get more than you give, always. Oh, it's exciting. Where am I at? Did I read all of them? Through 19? Yes, I did. Okay, flip over to Psalm 36. Seven through nine. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret. Wrong one. I'm in the wrong one. No, that's a good idea, though. Wait patiently for the Lord. All right, 36:7. How excellent is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of your house, and you shall make them drink of the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light shall we see light. Oh, continue your loving kindness unto them that know you, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. How would you like to be abundantly satisfied? Abundantly satisfied. How would you like to drink out of rivers of pleasures? Wow. How would you like to drink from the fountain of life? I like even just the line, in your light we see light. I want to see light. See, as we do this, these are the verses God said he's going to give us. Because as we are walking with him and laying down our life for others, we are being transformed into the image of Christ. Christ is being formed in us as we do this for someone else. That's what God's like. And that's why we are going to be transformed as we partner with him. You are God's vessel. You are the image of his love. You are his method. Why you? Because this is for you. This isn't just for that person. It is natural to love and be loved. We have stopped being natural in freely loving. Children are a little closer to it, but as we get older, we build so many walls to block love. My brother used to say a poem, I can never remember it right, something like, hate drew a circle to keep you in, but love and I had the wit to win. Yeah. Love and I had the wit to win. He drew a circle to keep you in. Oh, yeah, I blew it. Anyway, we just came in there with you. I lost this poem. I've said it 100 times. I can't think of it. We drew a circle to keep you in. I think that was it. You are going to experience powerful, supernatural love. If whatever you've experienced God giving to you, when you allow God to give through you, you'll experience more, way more, because God is a giver. And you know what else is exciting? The greatest commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. When you obey him to do this, that is love in action. You are loving God because you're obeying what he wants you to do. Secondly, you're loving your neighbor and you're loving yourself because this is for you. So you're keeping all that commandment by this project. That excites God. One way to keep the entire thing all at once. Well, I'm going to tell you, and the points that you should be having by now is only choose a love project. Like, I love them. I'm going to tell you some things about that. It's not going to be fast. It is not going to be fast. If you go to 1 Corinthians, because we're talking about love, we are not talking about Valentine's Day, candy, and cards with hearts on them. 1 Corinthians, love chapter 13, verse 1, 13:1. We're talking about love. And in talking about love, this is the things that we're going to be doing, allowing God to do through us as we depend on him. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, charity means godly love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Ministry, religion is right there. Prophesying, preaching, teaching, giving, working, serving, helping is nothing without the power of love. Nothing. It's all about love. So if you want to be in the ministry, true ministry, you have to love somebody. You have to let God love through you. That is true religion. That is true ministry. Now let's see what it means to love. Because, you know, it doesn't mean you have to like them. It does. There's times I think God doesn't like us. There's times we act so, do your kids ever act so horrible you look at them and go, I love that child, but I do not like him. I got some grandkids right now I can look at and go, I really love you, but I do not like who you're becoming right now. God needs to get a hold of you. I don't like Harvey sometimes. I don't like me sometimes. I don't like me lots of times. Sometimes I don't even love me. But love is God. It's not even just a choice. I choose to love you means I choose to allow God to love you through me because God is love. Doesn't matter what you feel. This is not about your emotions at all. Not about your emotions. Charity, love, suffers long and is kind, does not envy, it does not puff itself up, it does not behave rudely, unseemingly, it does not seek its own, it's not selfish, it is not easily provoked, it does not think evil. It rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. You know what it is to rejoice in iniquity? It's to like it when you catch somebody in their sin. I knew they would do that and then go gossip about them. Do you know what they did? That's rejoicing in iniquity. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. And love never fails. Never fails. Never fails means two things to me. One, it never quits. Number two, it will succeed. It will work. So it is not going to be fast because love endures. It's long-suffering. It's patient. It's bearing all things. I want that attitude to be in us toward this love project. You see, it is not about equality. It is not about fairness when you take a love project. It is completely you giving, expecting nothing in return. You don't expect them to say thank you. You don't expect them to appreciate what you're doing for them. You don't even expect anything. You just do what God gives you to do. And all your expectation is in God, no matter how they treat you. Because during the time of this experiment, you're going to take a lot. You're going to bear things. You're going to endure things that they do against you. And they're going to do things against you because there's spirits in them that don't like God. So you won't let God pour out on them. They're going to not like it. Some of those spirits are going to jump up, call you names. And you know what the enemy does? He's just so wicked. It doesn't even matter what kind of spirit he is because he just loves to torment us. So he looks for anything, and he knows our weaknesses. He knows. So he doesn't have to pick on the thing you're doing. God may be telling you, I want you to get up and speak before people. And the enemy won't say, oh, no, you can't speak. He'll say, you don't look good. Your hair is ugly. He'll start picking on things he knows you don't like to try to make you not do it. So you need to be ready that the enemy in that person, you're coming after, and this is a war. This is a battle, okay? This is a battle. Sometimes the enemy in the person you're after is going to cut you down, run you down, be rude to you, be mean to you, reject you, because that enemy in them is fighting for his life. He's fighting to keep their life. Don't take it personal. Just refuse to take anything personal. Take it to God. Because it's not against you. It's against God. It is not personal to you. It is personal to God. The enemy's just using you to stop God. Don't let him do that. So you're going to have to endure some things. You know, for me, if I don't already even like or love the person I pick, then I'm probably not going to take things so personal because I don't even care what they think of me anyway, right? We only care if we like them. We only care if we love them. If Harvey doesn't like something, that hurts my feelings because I want him to like me. But if my enemy doesn't like me, I don't care. I don't like you either. You know, it doesn't hurt so bad. So sometimes it's easier to make a love project out of an enemy than it is out of a friend because our friend hurts us deeper than our enemies do. There is no deeper pain. David said, he that I walked in the temple of God with, my own dear friend that I shared God with, has turned against me. That's a grief that you cannot help. And if you do get hurt, it's not that you don't matter. It's that you are also learning how to take your hurt to God, learning how to take that pain to God. Now, when you take your pain to God, if he says, I'm going to heal you, but I want you to confront. I want you to confront. I want you to go and tell that person because it's part of what I'm doing in them. I think he might be trying to get in here too. It's part of what I'm trying to do in the person for you to confront. But you're going to do it my way, my timing, my words, my spirit. So it doesn't mean that we never go back and tell them. We do it in the Spirit of God. So at this point, I want you to decide if you're going to make a commitment, because I'm going to give you a plan. I want you to decide right now between you and God whether you're going to make the commitment to God to love this person and let God love this person. And if you are, now I'm going to give you the plan on how to walk that out. We're going to come up with a plan. God came up with a plan. We're going to walk it out with Him. Number one, you need to know your love project. You need to know Him personally. That means you need to do a little bit of homework. You have to know what they need, what they desire, what they fear, what is the call on their life, what are their problems, what are their weaknesses, what are their strengths. If you want to write some of those down, you can. But it means really get to know them. And there's only one way to really get to know someone. That's to go and ask God, who is this person? What do they need? Who are they called to be? Because how can you speak into it unless you know it? How can you speak the truth? Harvey got depressed on the way here. He gets depressed a lot. He goes down a lot. It's part of my love project with him is to tell him some truth that picks him back up. He said, I don't feel very spiritual right now. I just keep seeing all these things that are wrong with me. And then I see God giving you things and letting you speak and all this stuff, and maybe I'm just here to release you. And I went, no. You see, I know who I am in God. I'm a teacher. I'm a preparer. You know, when you go to college, the teacher teaches all those people, and then they go out into great careers with what they learned in college. I am a teacher and a trainer of ministers, of prophets, of pastors, of apostles. I get to train great people and teach them because we're in a day of preparation. I'm happy to be a teacher. I don't need to be known. I don't need my name to ever be known in this world. I don't need credit. I don't need glory. I don't want to go out there and do those big things. I don't have any desire. I want to train the people who go. I know who I am. And this is my season. This is my season. But Harvey, you're one of the end time warriors. You are one who's going to stand up in the end times, and you are going to do the mighty works of God as He flows through you. And you will be known. You won't care about that because you'll be humble. But you will be known, and you will be seen, and you will be on the front line. I'll still be in the classroom preparing the next group. I'm happy with that. This is my season. It's not your season for your full release. When it is, you'll see that I am here to release you. I am here as part of God's plan for releasing you. See, I see that. I see that. And I love who I am. I mean, since God has shown me who I am, I love it because I look in faces and I see who you are and I see what you're supposed to do and I get to help you get ready to do it. And you're still sitting there going, I'm just nobody. And I go, don't you even know who you are? I see it way before you see it. I believe it before you accept it. I like that. I like who I am. You should like who you are, too. How did I get there? Knowing your love project personally. When God shows you who that person really is, now you can believe in them. Now you can speak into who they're supposed to be. It reminds me of the mother heart. Because mothers just do that. They look at their children and they see all the potential and they just know who that child is going to be and they believe in them and they never give that up. And that's what we want to do for the love project, for that person God has chosen you to love. Ask God to reveal that to you. Wait a minute. I got a verse for that. 1 John 3. Don't want to leave any verses out because that's where the power is. Power in His word. Swing the sword. 1 John 3. 1 through 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. This is such a wonderful portion of Scripture, because God is saying, the world doesn't know who you are. You don't even know fully who you are. But when he appears and you see him, you will be like him. As you behold him, you become like him. As we behold him, we are transformed into the same image as Christ. That means that image is in you. That means that's who you really are. That is finding out who you are. That is the freedom of learning who you are. That's what you want to bring to that person. So the world does not know. You do not know who that person is by looking at them, how they talk, how they dress, how they act, what they feel. That isn't how to find out who they are. Find out who they are by asking God. And then you begin seeing them as God sees them. Number two, love without conditions or expectations. Love without conditions or expectations. You're going to give without expecting to get anything back. That's godly. That's what God does. You know, Bob Jones had a vision where he died and went to heaven. And what they asked him when he got there was, did you learn how to love? If you're created in God's image and God is love, then in order to become who you are, you must learn how to love. You must learn how to love. But in John 17, that whole chapter, Jesus says, it is my prayer that you would be one with me, one with the Father. The same way I'm one with the Father, I want you to be one with us. See, it doesn't depend on you. Jesus lived a life depending on the Father for everything. We depend on him for everything. But as his everything flows through us in action, we began to become just like him. We learn how to love. It becomes more natural for us to love. We were created to love. We were created by love, in love, and to love. 1 John 3:16. Did I just read that? Or 1 John something? 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. God is asking you to lay your life down for another who may not love you, for another who's difficult for you to love. But in so doing, you will benefit more than the one you lay down your life to and for. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us not love one another. I'm sorry. Let us. Correction. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. And this was manifest the love of God toward us, because he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And he sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected or matured in us. And this is how we know that we dwell in him, and he dwells in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. You cannot love with this kind of love unless God lives inside of you. It's impossible. But it is the proof that he lives in you when you sense his love flowing through you to someone. And that's his purpose in you. And that is your own deliverance. That is your own healing. This is going to be one of the most powerful inner healings and deliverances you've ever experienced. This is way beyond laying on the floor and soaking and getting the one-touch miracle. This is going to transform your life if you'll walk in this. And I am your accountability partner. Because when we come into inner healing, I'm going to ask you, how'd you do with that project last week? Let's talk about it. Tell me what went well. Tell me what didn't go so well. Tell me where you need prayer. Tell me where you got beat up so we can pray some healing into you. We're going to do this together. This is going to be our experiment in love together. 1 Corinthians 2. Third point, know what God is doing now and next. Know what God is doing now and next. What's he about to do? 1 Corinthians 2. I'll give you a minute to write that down. Know what God is doing now and next. That means you need a plan. You need to know what God is up to in that person, in your love project. You need to know what he's doing in them and what he's planning to do in them. There's only one way to find that out. Not by your emotions, but by asking God. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 16. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Are you afraid of your assignment? I am. Are you afraid you'll fail? I am, and I will. Do you not have a clue how this is going to happen and you don't want to do it? There I am with you. There was Paul. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. This is a true experience for you to move in a different way. You cannot argue. You cannot convince them. You cannot use your wisdom. You cannot entice them. You cannot correct them, scold them, judge them, try to make them see it your way. None of that is going to work. You have to use the Spirit of God only, which means whatever he says do, whatever he says. When you do it, he puts his power behind it. In demonstration of the Spirit and power. Have you read that and wished you owned it? Demonstration of the Spirit and power. Demonstrate your power. I will. If you will, do what I tell you to do. You will see my power demonstrated. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. What verse did I say we're going to?
All the way through.
Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. This is how you're loving God. This is the proof of your love. And the person that you're ministering to is going to love God. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man, except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now that's the verse I really wanted you to catch there. How do you know what God wants to do? You cannot know, except the Spirit reveals it to you. But if you're doing what God wants you to do, and he told you to choose someone to love, he wants you to know what he's doing. So when you ask him, he's going to tell you. When you say, God, what are you doing in this person's life? What do you want me to do? He's going to tell you. So you need a plan, and you need to get it from God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak. Not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Your ears and your eyes will lie to you. The person may say, I didn't get anything out of that, and I don't care what you said. I don't even understand it. Lying. If God said for you to say or do something, that he'd put his spirit in it, let God be true and all men a liar.
That's right.
If that person says, I don't feel anything, they are lying. And maybe they're not lying. But when they turn around and walk away, it's going to hit them later. Because
yep.
God said he's going to do it. He is going to do it.
That's
don't
right.
believe what you see. Don't believe what you hear. You just keep knowing God will do it when you're obeying him. The natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him. Neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who knows the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, because we're born of his Spirit. He lives inside of us. So we have the mind of Christ. Do you ever hear anybody say, oh, that man is a genius. I wish I could pick his brain. You have the mind of Christ. Pick his brain. Find out what he's thinking. Find out what he's thinking. Just ask him. He loves to tell you. Number four, you must pray for that plan. When God, you must pray altogether, intercession for the person and for the plan. So intercession, pray for your love project. Pray over that plan that God gave you. And be specific. We're not just going to go in every day and say, be with Joe. God bless Joe. God help Joe. No, find out what you need to ask God to do for Joe. And do not pray what you think you see. Maybe Joe is about to get evicted out of his home. And you're wanting to say, oh God, don't let him be evicted. Pay his rent. Keep him in his house. Maybe God's plan is to evict him. See, first you need to know God's plan for Joe, and then you can pray according to the wisdom of that plan. If God says, I am going to evict Joe because that is what needs to happen in his life, then you can pray, God, what would you like me to pray? Would you like me to pray Joe has grace? Would you like me to pray for movers to assist him? Would you like me to go and assist him? What do you want me to do with the revelation that you're going to evict Joe? What do you want me to do with that? How shall I pray about it? What shall I do? Ask for instructions specifically. How to pray, what to do. Specific instructions. And then remember, when God tells you to do something you can't do, it's okay. He'll do it in you. He'll do it through you. That's dependency. One thing we're going to learn through this is how to walk in dependency on God. Because he will absolutely tell you things you can't do so that he can do it and show you that he's God. Number five, sow seeds. I'll go back over your points. After you've picked a love project, you need to get to know him personally. You need to love without any condition or expectation. You need to know what God is doing now and next. Get a plan. Four, you must pray over that plan specifically. James 5. If you don't keep up with these, at least write them down because you're going to want to read them again and again as you go through this project. 5:16 and 17. Confess your faults one to another and pray for another, one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain in the earth for about 3 years and 6 months. He prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, why would Elijah pray that it would not rain for 3 years? That's a mean prayer, isn't it? Sometimes people will only turn to God in hard times. Sometimes people have to go through hard things. They have to come to the end of themselves to turn to God. And if that's God's will, it's not mean, it's love.
Right.
You're going to save their soul. The word says we're better to poke our eye out, cut our arm off, if they're going to cause you to go to hell. So sometimes somebody losing their house, sometimes somebody going through a sickness is the best thing that could happen to them. Right, Glenn? Glenn prayed, God, flay me open. He meant spiritually, and then he had this a triple bypass flay him open surgery twice in a row. God flayed him open. They lost their home. He lost his business. And now he's in full-time ministry. Loves his life far better than the one that he lost. God had to flay him open literally to get him out of that business. He wasn't going to stop. So if we would have prayed, oh, God, please just heal him miraculously and, oh, God, please bless his business and give him strength to work, he'd still be stuck doing what he was miserable doing, and he wouldn't be able to do what God designed him to do. So pray in the will of God. Find it and pray in it, because your fervent, effectual prayer, it will be fervent and it will be effectual if you're praying according to what he told you to pray. I had a lady come up and say, I had my grandson stay with me all summer, and he's getting so close to the Lord, and he's just loving God, and it's so sweet. And now he had to go back home to his mother in this other state, and his mom's got this guy living with her who's wicked and evil, and the boy is hearing swearing, and he's seeing bad things, and would you please pray for me that the mom would just let the boy come back and live with me? I said, no, but I will ask God what he wants me to pray. And if you're willing that I pray whatever God chooses about that situation, then I will pray for you. She said, oh, okay. And as I began to pray, what God gave me was, I will not remove that boy from that home. I have prepared him and I have sent him to win his mother. But I will remove the boyfriend. Pray that. We prayed that, and that man moved out the next day. God didn't want me to pray what she wanted. You got to know what God's up to and pray according to his will. Then it will be effectual and fervent, and then he will answer it. Not by your emotions, not by your logic, by the will of God. Number four, I already did that. That's what I just did. Ah, sow seeds. I didn't give you the verse for sow seeds. I stayed on prayer, didn't I? Number five, sow seeds, Mark 4. You have to sow your seeds in the heart of that person. Mark chapter 4. Four 14. The sower soweth the word. It's that simple. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the written word of God. How many words do you think are in this book? Which word are you going to sow into that person? Again, you've got to get with God. It's got to be a real, living, present relationship God for you to know which word to sow. You see, knowledge is knowing the word. Wisdom is knowing how to use the word. Wisdom is knowing which part of the word, to which person, at which time, will God empower. So you have to ask him, give me some word for my love project, God. Give me word for my love project, God. Words are sometimes encouragement. I have loved you. The Lord says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I know you've fallen. I know you don't like yourself. I know you're ashamed. I know you feel like a failure. But God told me to tell you he has loved you with an everlasting love. And his love will never fail. It will never quit. It will never give up. Don't worry. God's going to win in the end, and you're going to be fine. He won't give up on you. Encouragement. Sometimes God has told me to say, prepare your house because you're going to die. You know, when it's my time to die, I hope God tells me to prepare my house because it's time to die. I like that warning because prepare your house. Aren't there things you like to say to somebody before you go? Wouldn't you like maybe to get rid of some things out of your house you don't want them to go through and find after you go? I thought about that. I have boxes of journals, you know, and I think, I pour my heart out in these. Do I want everybody to read them, or shall I set them on fire when I die? Oh, no, I'm going to leave them. I don't care. But I want to know. There's some things I want to finally say to my kids before I check out. I like that. Prepare your house. You're about to die. I think my dad got that from God, because my dad, for a month before he had a heart attack, he was getting out his will. He was writing down who was going to sing at his funeral. Everything about it. He planned his funeral, and he got all the insurance papers out, And he showed my mom how to go through it all so she wouldn't be confused. He never said, I'm about to die. But he prepared for a funeral. He prepared my mom to walk through it. And then he died. I like the morning. If I'm going to die, I'd like to know. I've told God I'd like to know. You know, there's some things I'd like my hair to be clean and my teeth to be, I'd clean my fingernails and get all pretty for the casket, you know. So that's not a bad word. Going to heaven's not a bad thing, right?
No way.
Sowing the seeds. Sow the word of God. Look at Ezekiel 3. I know this is long, but you know what? I don't think we're going to soak today because it's not a soaking message. It's a take it home and eat it up and live it out message. Ezekiel, I actually have these things marked and I'm still slower than everybody to get there.
Read what?
17. You should ask me to read it before I get there. 3:17. Ezekiel 3, verse 17. Son of man, I have made you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. I don't know your name, but I'm saying Joe for everybody today because as far as I know, we don't have a Joe in the room. Burning Bush members, ministers, children of God, I have made you a watchman unto Joe. I just made you a watchman unto Joe. I chose you because I know you trust me and you love me. And you will let me love through you. You are a chosen vessel to do this. If you're here, he chose you because he told me to say this today and you're here. So he chose you to do this. It may be hard. It will be hard. But I have chose you and made you a watchman over Joe. Therefore, watchman, hear the word at my mouth. God has invited you. I've chose you, and I'm going to speak to you. Come and hear what I want to say to you. And then give them warning from me. There will be warning. When you want to warn somebody, oh, yeah, just let me tell them. I'd like to tell them a thing or two. Not God. It is not God. Back up. Pray some more. When God helps you to love that person, and he says, now I want you to go and warn them, you're going, oh, God, I don't want to hurt them. I don't want to embarrass them. I don't want to do this. It's God. Go. Because in the love of God, you don't want to hurt people. You don't want to straighten them out. It's very difficult. I did tell somebody to prepare the house. They were going to die because they were in sin doing drugs. And they came to me again and again and again and again. And one morning, because they did drugs all night and came in the morning, one morning, before they ever came, he said, this morning when she comes, tell her to prepare her house, for she will surely die. I didn't want to. I didn't want to tell that girl she was about to die because of her sin. I did not want to tell her that. And, you know, is there a part B if, you know, something, hope? Just tell her what I said. I told her. And she said, you're saying I'm going to die. And I said, yeah. Well, I don't want to die. And I said, I don't want you to either. What can I do to get out of it? And I said, that's all I got from God. So I'm not leaving your house. I'm not leaving your house. I'll stay here forever. I won't leave your house until God is happy with me and I don't have to die. I'm going to repent. And she started off, I wouldn't even do what I did if it wasn't for my bad mom. And I said, that's not repentance. You're blaming your mom for your sin. She stayed there 3 days. Well, it's my husband's fault. That's not repentance. You're blaming your sin on someone else. Your sin is your own fault. On the third day, she broke. She said, it is my fault. It's all my fault. It's all my choices. It's all my sin. God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I do deserve to die. And God said, tell her. She shall live. There was an if, and she found it. Graham Cook, he was preaching in a church, and God said, I want you to stand up and say, God hates mummies and daddies. Well, this was in England. I mean, that we don't say mummies and daddies here. You know, mummies are buried people. But he didn't want to say that. He said, God, you don't hate mummies and daddies. Why would I say that? God said, trust me. And he stood up, and he said to this congregation, The Lord said he hates mummies and daddies. Then he waited, and a woman started crying. And she came forward, and she said, when I was a little girl, my mother and father molested me repeatedly, and they called the game mummies and daddies. Their molesting game, they named it mummies and daddies. And when God hated mummies and daddies, she knew he loved her and wanted to heal her. We have to speak the word that he gives us. And we have to listen to him and trust him and speak only what he tells us to speak. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Fitly spoken at the right time. Fitly spoken, the right word at the right time. Once you know what he wants you to say, you also need to know when and how. Get some instructions. I'm going to just drop a couple of verses here for you. Ephesians 4:15 says, speak the truth in love. Ephesians 4:15. Make sure when you take truth, you have God and it is spoken in his love. Ezekiel 3:17. God, oh, I just gave you that one. I already gave you that one. I'm ahead of myself again. Number 6, water the seeds. This is accountability. This is accountability. God, I have planted that seed. How do I water it? How do I water it? When should I go back again? What should I say next time? Do you want me to give them a book or a tape or a gift, a ride? Whatever. How do you want me to water the seed that was planted? Ask him how to follow up on it. And number 7, commit to do whatever it takes, as God tells you what that is. Now, I just want to tell you again, it is not you loving from the way you know how to love. It is not you spoiling someone. Oh, God told me to love her, so I'm going to go buy her a new dress, and I'm going to take her to the movies, and I'm going to take her out to eat, and I'm going to babysit for her. And then you do, and then they start calling you. I need something. Buy it for me. I need this. Come get me. I need. And you know what? They're depending on you and sucking the life out of you because that's what you just taught them to do. And that's all they're getting is you. You're a good friend. Thanks for helping. And the first time you don't, you're a bad friend. Why don't you give me what I want? It doesn't work. Do not do it in the flesh, or you will burn yourself out. You will burn yourself up in a hurry. You'll learn to despise that person more because now they're just a pain in the neck that calls you constantly and want you to do something. And you're tired. Do not do this in the flesh. Commit to do whatever it takes as God tells you what that is. Psalm 37. We're almost done. I know this is long, but it's completely not my fault. God wouldn't let me leave one thing out. He said, dump the whole load. 37:5-10. They were preaching out in the country. No? What? Oh, no. Nah, I've given that enough here. I thought you wanted the joke about dump the whole load. That joke? The illustration? Oh, girl that kept calling me and wanting things. I know I've said it here. And then one day God said, next time she asks you for anything, I want you to tell her no. You go and tell God and no one else because you're depending on me and you need to know how real God is. Next time she needs something, tell her that. So she called me and said, I need diapers. I don't have any diapers left and the baby is wet and what am I going to do? You know, people that do that, they don't ever think ahead either. You know, I've got 3 diapers left. Could you work in to get me some? No. The baby's wet right now, and I have no diaper right now. You know, it's always right now. And I said, no. No, but I really need them. And I said, I know. And God really wants you to know that he's your provider. I'm not. So he wants you to tell him and no one else that you need diapers. And find out God loves you, and he's the one taking care of you. So she did, and she called me back and said, in a few minutes, she called me back and said, I can't believe it. A neighbor just walked up, knocked on my door, and gave me a whole box of diapers. Now she knows God's the provider, not me. But I struggled with it at the time. I was young in the Lord, and I struggled. God, That's so mean. I can't do that. They don't need your love. They need His love. They need His love. If they're depending on you, you're going to fail them. We're only human. We will fail them, and then it all falls apart. Psalm 37:5-10. Commit your way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself because of him who prospers in his way, because of men who bring wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. Don't worry yourself in any way to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, you shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. This is your deliverance. This is your healing. It's going to sneak up on you while you're letting God love someone else. Your healing is going to sneak up on you. Because selfishness is ungodly. So when we just go, I need, I want. Anybody ever watch What About Bob? I watched it with a language filter. You need a language filter if you watch that movie. I need, give me, I need. Selfishness makes you miserable. So while you are loving others, letting God flow through you and your whole mind is on someone else, your healing will sneak up on you. It'll just happen. In a little while, you'll look around and go, where's that spirit that used to have me in prison? Wow, it's not there anymore. It's gone. I'm not angry. I'm not bitter. I'm not afraid. Wow, where did it go? It left because you got so full of the love of God and the devil can't stand that. He just leaves to escape God. Philippians 4. This is my prayer for you. I think we're up to the prayer for you. Philippians 4:4-7. This is what I am praying for you. This is what God told me to pray for you this morning. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Don't worry. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry for anything. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God's, in plain words, God said, get excited about this. Start rejoicing about this. I'm going to heal you and set you free, so rejoice about this. And don't worry about anything, but just come to me in prayer, thanking me for what I'm doing in your life, asking me for what you need. Make it known to me. That's an invitation. Take it up. And God said, I will give you my peace that passes understanding, and I will keep your hearts. This is such an awesome invitation. This is going to transform your life. You're going to get more healing out of this than anything you've ever experienced before as you do this. And we're going to bring back, I hope you journal, hope you took good notes, hope you study those notes. Stuck. We're going to come back together next week on Tuesday, and we're going to talk about that, how it's working, how it's going, the pitfalls, the successes, where you need prayer. So bring it back and let's be accountable, and I'm sure I'll have a lot to share on mine. God seems to let me experience everything I have to be bringing to you lately, especially the hard stuff, but a lot of the good stuff too. So I said this morning after he gave me the message, I said, well, God, I've been getting visions and getting healing experiences to go in and share, and today you didn't give me anything. And then when he gave me that name at the last minute, I went, oh, you are sneaky. You are so sneaky. Jehovah's sneaky, yeah, sly guy. Lord, we love you so much, and we know this is for us. We know that you're going to do powerful, wonderful things in us through this. This is going to bring what we've been looking for, the freedom, the release. Most of all, it's going to bring us so close to you. We're going to get to experience you flowing through us. What a privilege, what an honor. We thank you for choosing us, God. We thank you for the name that you chose for us.